You're listening to KZSC Santa Cruz, 88.1 FM, kzsc.org, broadcasting from the University of California at Santa Cruz. My name is John Malkin, and the name of this program is Transformation Highway. In 2017, an AR-15 military-style assault rifle was stolen from the Santa Cruz Police Department. The gun remains missing today, and both the former and current police chiefs of Santa Cruz chose not to make the theft public. My three-part article about lost and stolen Santa Cruz Police Department guns was published in the Santa Cruz Sentinel on February 11, 2021. And is available online. My research also uncovered another stolen Santa Cruz police gun, a Glock handgun that went missing in 2011. In recent weeks, you've heard interviews about the stolen AR-15 with Santa Cruz Police Chief Andy Mills and Lieutenant Arnold Vasquez. Here is a quick excerpt from my interview with Santa Cruz Police Chief Andy Mills on the stolen AR-15 assault rifle.
A couple years ago, a firearm was stolen from one of our vehicles and has not been recovered. And this unfortunately does happen when people leave firearms in vehicles, and it shouldn't. And that was fully investigated, and appropriate discipline was given.
Can you tell me a little about the circumstances where it was stolen and what kind of gun it was?
Well, that happened before I got here. So I have read the investigation, but it was numerous years ago that I read it. And it was a assault rifle, and it was, we don't know where it was stolen.
Do you have concerns? I mean, what are your greatest concerns about there being a police weapon out and about?
Well, obviously, any weapon that is stolen out of a vehicle, regardless if it's a police weapon or a private weapon, I'm very concerned about, because that's going into the hands of someone who's committing a crime. And so when weapons get taken, regardless of the origin of that weapon, is a huge concern, particularly a police weapon, because now a potential adversary has control of one of our weapons, and that is distasteful, it's wrong, and that's why we take strong internal action against those things when they take place.
Santa Cruz Police Department Lieutenant Arnold Vasquez led a three-week investigation into the stolen AR-15 and could not determine where or when the military-style rifle was stolen from the Santa Cruz Police Department.
At the end of the day, in terms of the investigation, I was unable to verify or have any evidence proving that it was stolen. However, based off of the information that we were able to uncover, it appeared as though it was potentially stolen and likely misappropriated. And so that is exactly how we actually entered it into our database system, primarily because we really didn't have any solid evidence to say that, the firearm itself was stolen from anyone in particular. When we initially began the investigation, we entered it into the system as lost, just to make sure that we had it in there in the event that it surfaced either with another agency or out in the field. We wanted to make sure we had that in there. And then we later modified it to misappropriated, which is actually, a version or form of being stolen.
Today you'll hear an interview with Shawnee Buggs, an assistant professor with the UC Davis Violence Prevention Research Program. Bugs discusses issues of accountability and transparency and the underlying need to create new systems for community safety that are based in compassion and health instead of coercion, control, and punishment. Here now is Shawnee Bugs.
Several issues came to mind with this story. One being the fact that a firearm was able to be stolen from a police car, so that raises a lot of questions. Was the firearm just sitting on the front seat? Was it locked in some kind of compartment to securely store it in a vehicle? I know that police officers are often trained to have all of their equipment readily available at a moment's notice, and yet a firearm is a lethal weapon. And so, you know, it raises questions about how the firearm was stored in the vehicle. And there are secure ways of storing a firearm. So it just raises questions about the details of how this firearm came to be stolen. The fact that it is not public knowledge does raise questions. So you mentioned 2016-2017, law was passed 2017 around reporting lost and stolen firearms within California in 5 days of facing an infraction. I'm not sure if there are exceptions for law enforcement officers. If there are, that also raises questions, because why should firearms stolen from police vehicles not be required to be reported? And I think this issue of transparency, so you have the issue of transparency and then the issue of accountability. And the issue of transparency is critical, you know, in light of the conversations being had in Santa Cruz, across California, across our country, around what police do and how their actions, their policies, their procedures may or may not help make communities safer, but more to the point of this story, make communities feel safer. And the issue of transparency as it involves not sharing information with the public because of concerns around decreased in feelings of safety is a real dilemma that police officers, police agencies around the country are really having to grapple with. Not sharing information that may be damning in the hopes that it will never come to light only makes, when it comes to light, that much more harmful to the community's trust. And there is research around the country, and we're, you know, there's still a lot to be determined about what happened this year as it relates to police violence and the subsequent increases in violence in many cities around the country. But there is research that shows that when incidents of violence or incidents of police distrust occur, they further break down the relationship between police and the communities they serve. And so not being forthcoming with information that is a matter of public safety, is a matter of making communities feel safe, does more damage when that information comes out. And that is something that, you know, parents deal with all the time, that leaders have to face, covering up the information does more harm. Then there's the issue of the accountability. And so the fact that there is not transparency from the agency around this stolen firearm, what has been done to trace it, what sort of measures have been put in place to ensure that it never happens again, also undermines public trust and leaves this distaste, because it begins to beg the question, well, then what else is being covered up? What else is not being shared? And at a time when we are having really difficult conversations around transparency and accountability from law enforcement and making communities feel safer, and truly making communities safer, we cannot continue to have this barrier between law enforcement and the communities they serve with a patriarchal, paternalistic viewpoint that the community doesn't have enough information, isn't informed enough, cannot make rational decisions with the information that we have, so therefore we will withhold information from the community. That will continue to be harmful and continue to erode any relationship between the police and the community.
Yeah. Everything you've said is really interesting to me. I want to ask you a question just to make sure of something. Is there any reason why making this public, that this assault rifle was stolen from the Santa Cruz police, is there any reason why that is not a good thing to do for people who live in Santa Cruz or live in California? Does it make anything more dangerous or more anything negative?
You know, there's the risks to public trust. Whenever there is information that could be damaging, because it demonstrates the failure on law enforcement's part to secure a lethal firearm, an assault-type weapon. And that will inevitably raise questions around what the police are doing, how they are ensuring the public's safety. So, sure, there's risk to sharing that information. There's risk to sharing information around police violence, police-involved shootings. Whenever there are these breakdowns and failures in the processes, it will raise questions around credibility and accountability. But covering it up with the hopes that it will never see the day, never see the light of day, really does damage if and when it does see the light of day. And so the police, I feel like with any quote-unquote scandal as it relates to the state, it gives the police an opportunity to say, this happened, this was a tragedy, this is a failure on our part, and here's how we are fixing it, and here's how we will ensure that this never happens again, and here's how we can set a model for other agencies. And demonstrating that they are forthcoming with information will inevitably make, it's a difficult conversation, but it will make, it's a far better outcome to come forward with the information than to let it slip through media reporting or me in some other way, or, you know, any other way that, that the information might come out. It doesn't, you know, the fact that the firearm was stolen, that the AR-15 was stolen in Santa Cruz does not mean that it is still in Santa Cruz. It doesn't mean that it's still in California. There's no way to tell that unless the police are actively doing any sort of ballistics matching and firearm tracing. And we can't answer those questions without knowing what the police have been doing as it relates to this stolen firearm. So we're not able to even alleviate any concerns around safety when we don't even have a conversation around the stolen firearm.
One thing comes to mind, I did an interview with Mike Giannacco, who is the current interim police auditor for the city of Santa Cruz. The last police auditor left about 6 months ago. This current police auditor, when I told him about all of this, first of all, he said he was learning about this from me. So I'm curious how it is that he started being the police auditor and the last police auditor didn't mention it to him. It seems like it might have been on the top 10 list of things to mention. I'm not sure. And then when I'm talking to him about transparency, why this is better kept secret, or should it be made public? And I said to him, no one knows about this gun being stolen. He said to me, well, you know about it. And he laughed heartily, and I laughed because it was weird. That's not, you know, me knowing about it. Anyway, that's what he had to say about it, you know. And then he said, that's kind of the job of the media. Thank goodness for media. You know, go and write your story. But frankly, and I told him this, like, I'd actually prefer influencing these structures that we have so they work, so that I'd rather be playing the piano, frankly. But so that was weird. And also, I want to tell you a little about the current police chief. I've lived here for 30 years, and this is the third police chief we've had. And I've been involved in police accountability activism since I moved here in 1989. And when I went to the university, I did community studies, and I focused on helping to create a police review board for the city. And I wrote my thesis on that. And then we actually did create this in 1995, and I was appointed, and I sat on that board for 2 years. The board doesn't exist anymore. But every time a police chief leaves, everyone says, thank goodness, that administration was terrible, and boy, we're happy with the new one. So that's happened again. The current police chief has been here for 3.5 years, and he really... I do have to say, I call him on his cell phone and he answers it, and we do interviews, and I've done maybe 6 or 8 interviews with him. I never did an interview with previous police chiefs. And he prides himself on this. He lives downtown. People seem thrilled about that. He lives in town and he walks around and you can chat with him. He has put something on the Santa Cruz Police Department website called the Transparency Portal. He meets with the ACLU and the NAACP regularly and makes a big deal out of that. He and these organizations actually, the last 3 years, have co-sponsored the Martin Luther King Jr. rally and parade on Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. And what is notable about that for me is that the police and the police chief, they're co-sponsoring these events, and they're coming to the parade to honor the struggles for Black rights and civil rights. They come wearing uniforms and carrying guns. So I just find it ironic that there's even this thing called a transparency portal now, and this chief is really priding himself on being available and transparent and around this gun. And like you raised the point, what else is not made public?
And that's where police officers, that's where policing as an institution, that's one way that it really does a disservice to the community, because, you know, the police are the entity who have the ability to take away freedom and to take away lives. And to, you know, I am only going on the story, this one incident that I know about, around this AR-15 that was stolen, sounds like before the police chief came into office. But when police agencies want to only report what they see as the good things, the good actions, the actions that they think are protecting the public, and that's what they want to showcase. And again, I haven't seen this transparency portal, so I'm not sure what all is included in it. But my guess is that it is not highlighting the darker, less positive incidents that might have occurred within the police department. And when police share only those events that paint a rosy picture, and yet, you know, have the ability to take away freedoms, to take lives legally, and don't share all of the story, aren't fully transparent, it really brings a lot of concern. It raises questions around, what are you not sharing with us? And how might that impact individual freedom? How might that impact community safety? That's a real dilemma for many police agencies that want to, that report wanting to be part of the solution and part of the community, and yet aren't forthcoming and transparent about failures, inconsistencies, mistakes made. It really raises questions, and it makes people, makes communities have distrust towards what they're hearing. Even if they're hearing about the good things, it raises questions around, well, what are you not telling us? And why are you only telling us this one side? I think your point about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Rally and parade, and the officers showing up with guns is an interesting observation. But that speaks, I think, to just this, it speaks to other issues, but as it relates to the story, this disconnect between the messages that the police want to send, how they want to be perceived in the community, and the reality of how they're perceived in the community. They are still the gun-toting, handcuff-carrying authority, even when they're showing up for a rally that's around nonviolence and community unity, and there's still an othering that is occurring, even in that setting, even in that context.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by that, and did interviews with the chief about that. And so he said, everyone who comes to this parade is invited to come fully who they are. And he really values that. So he wants he and his police officers to come with that same sense of freedom. And they are police officers, so they will come with uniforms and guns. He also said there's some potential that at a public event, police might be needed and their equipment, they should have their equipment with them. I think that's a lesser point in this, but, you know, and it ties into his, and a lot of police officers, I suppose, and I don't envy their position now with all of us saying, we want you to go away. They're trying to manage through that. So I don't envy that, but this police chief has gone to Black Lives Matter protests here in Santa Cruz wearing an All Lives Matter bracelet. And he talks about, I asked him about that bracelet, and it's similar to the parade logic. We all should be free. We're all in this together. And he, you know, again, I found it pretty ironic that while he was photographed in downtown Santa Cruz at a Black Lives Matter protest, kneeling. Remember at that point where a bunch of police officers were seen kneeling at protests? He became a little bit famous because there he was kneeling next to the Black mayor of Santa Cruz, Justin Cummings. But behind them in the photo, which probably most people didn't notice, there's a fence that was put up around downtown Santa Cruz to move homeless people and their tents and their sleeping stuff away from downtown. But even more significantly, around the same time that he is kneeling in solidarity with Black Lives Matter after George Floyd was killed, he sent half a dozen Santa Cruz police officers to Oakland to face off against Black Lives Matter protesters there. And that was a night when protest, they had a curfew, but police there shot tear gas and, you know, non-lethal weapons 15 minutes before the curfew started. You know, again, this trying to walk this line of, you know, what they're presenting versus what they're actually practicing.
real flaws in that state. stance. And when the challenges with police undermine our entire system of justice, police are the face of the justice system. They are the first points of contact. And when there continues to be this us versus them, and when more and more members of the community are saying, this is not okay, we don't feel safe, we aren't getting the information we need, we aren't, our concerns, our distress calls, our pleas for change are going unheard, when the police ignore those and don't make full-hearted attempts to be transparent, to demonstrate to the communities how they are holding each other accountable, how they are accountable to the community, it does undermine our legal systems of justice. There is research around procedural justice and police legitimacy and the ways in which these issues of police transparency and accountability damage individuals' confidence in our justice system. Of course, there are lots of other evidential points to show why, you know, there's confidence undermined in the justice system. But police are the first point of contact, and they are the face of the justice system. And they need to come to terms with that role and do their part to help ensure that confidence is built and maintained, and that trust is built and maintained.
You're listening to Transformation Highway on KZSC 88.1 FM, kzsc.org. You're listening to an interview with Shawnee Buggs, assistant professor with the UC Davis Violence Prevention Research Program, discussing the 2017 theft of a Santa Cruz Police Department AR-15 rifle, which remains missing today and was never made public. Here again is Shawnee Buggs. I could see the police chief here arguing that when I write this story, that it will damage that confidence, and the problem is the making public of this information. I don't know that he'll say that, but I imagine that could be the angle he would take. I also think about, like, in really simple terms, just remembering being a kid and with my parents and hearing, you know, this notion that there are different kinds of lies. One is when you say something that's not true, and then the other one where you don't say something hoping you don't get caught.
That's a lie by omission. Yeah.
It's a lie of omission. That might even be a legal term. I don't know.
Yes. I agree. And, you know, there's validity to whether this story coming out could damage the, you know, the public trust in the police for some individuals, some communities. The police chief politically could say, this did not happen on my watch, but this is what I did when I found out about it. And this is how it won't happen again. This is how we've ensured that firearms and police vehicles are safely stored. These are the protocols that we have. If a firearm goes missing, you know, there are ways to do damage control if the story were to come out. But I think it's a valid concern that they were, this is it sounds like a scandal. And whenever there are, and it sounds like a scandal more that because it hasn't come to light in 3 or 4 years. Mistakes happen, and it would absolutely raise questions around, well, where is this gun? You know, how often are police carrying AR-15s loose in their cars? What has been done to trace this fire, this now stolen assault-type weapon? That would raise questions. And there's no, I mean, there's no way to prevent that from happening. But without addressing the harm up front, without talking about and presenting the information, as you know, we are actively working to increase transparency and accountability. We are committed, even when we mess up, to being forthcoming with information. That can create a different relationship with the community than what they have now, and can open up new doors for conversation and understanding. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying that it's just a flowery, you know, situation where there's one hard conversation and then everybody is forgiving and we move on. And there is real harm in not being transparent.
Mm-hmm.
It's a political calculation. I mean, clearly, the calculation has been made to not, but it's better to keep it secret than to come out about it in the time that has lapsed since the event occurred. But that can, you know, it continues to be this lie by omission that could come out and raise a lot of questions around what else are the police not telling us.
Mm-hmm.
They have real risks for community safety.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think so too. This idea, the police chief saying, well, that happened before I was here, it's not my responsibility, that doesn't coincide with his presentation as transparent. And he could have, when he heard about it, he could have presented that in the manner that you just said. And in fact, I did the interview with him, I'd say 3 months ago, and I've been thinking any day he could actually do that.
Mm-hmm.
He really could. And then I would just move on to the next story. I wouldn't have to work on this story. He could do that.
By sharing what you know, yes, it opens up a host of new questions that we don't have the answer to. And the way that the chief responds to the inquiry puts that off its own chain of events as well. Not acknowledging, not answering those questions, not being forthcoming, will likely do more damage. So it's a bit of a mess, and I had limited knowledge of this. I don't know the chief. I don't know the relationship. I have only heard what you've shared with me, and I think there's no easy way to address this publicly. Without being totally and completely transparent, and that comes with risks. And yet I, as a citizen, as a taxpayer, as someone who expects my government to hold it and place more responsibility on the individuals who have arrest powers and the legal ability to take lives when situations are deemed to justify that action. They have to be held to higher standards. They have to be, I believe that they have to demonstrate how they are working to protect the public trust, to earn and maintain credibility. And that means sometimes airing dirty laundry. And airing dirty laundry with it, not with the goal of just doing it, but with the goal of demonstrating to the public that they are willing to talk about incidents that do not only hold them in positive light, and they are willing to talk about how they are fixing flaws in the processes or the protocols or procedures. That is how trust is earned and maintained. Mm-hmm. In any relationship, you have to, there is the expectation that you can, that the person who you are trusting will say, I messed up, and here's how I messed up, and here's how I won't do it again.
Yeah, it amazes me to see how different the expectations that police and the criminal justice system have on us in terms of being transparent and airing dirty laundry and taking responsibility and being punished. I don't like the idea of anyone being punished for anything, actually, but
right.
Turning it around, what we can expect of them is a whole other world. It's not transparent. I can't even find the name of the police officer who was responsible. There are laws that protect that kind of detail. When the rest of us, if my neighbor got arrested for stealing a gun, his name would be made public, even if before he's had a trial to determine if he actually did that thing. Yeah, it's just such a different set of standards.
It is, and that is precisely why there are calls for reform. The state's monopoly on punishment and opaque processes and not fully accounting for harm being done is hypocritical. And it's hard to imagine how we can continue to build towards the kind of society, the kind of communities that we want with this hypocrisy. And this AR-15 incident is just one small but pretty poignant example about how and why these uncomfortable conversations are being had, need to be had, and police agencies need to figure out how to have these conversations and take action in real ways, in real concrete ways. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't pretend that it's easy. I do not envy the responsibility and the job that police officers have. I think, the chief may say that a reason why he's not coming forth with this, or why others, the previous chief didn't come forward, is that a concern for the officers? I don't know that there's more validity to that recognize that there are real challenges and real difficult questions and situations to manage when incidents like this occur. Continuing to not address them will not help us achieve the objectives of genuine trust and community between police and the individuals they serve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When this chief arrived here, he wanted to sort of take inventory of how the police department runs and physically what they have and don't have. He did a physical inventory of their evidence locker. Like when they arrest people, they put the stuff in there and they have a clipboard or whatever that says what's in this room and who it belongs to and when it arrived there. And I was told that a small amount of marijuana was missing from the evidence room. And so when I talked to the police chief about that, you know, he told me, it was only, you know, an eighth of an ounce or some small amount. So it's almost a funny, humorous thing because marijuana, small amounts of marijuana are funny and humorous, not like a AR-15. But it still piqued my interest. Like, really, I mean, to me, the question that would arise is like, which police officer took it and did he or she smoke it or sell it? Like, I don't know a lot of other options there. And then the third question, what else is missing? And and so 3.5 years later, it turns out an AR-15.
The hypocrisy of the expectation that situations that citizens would be held accountable for go uninvestigated, unpunished. And again, I'm with you on the punished. I think unaccounted for is really what I mean. Is concerning, and that is the conversation being had. That is one of many conversations being had around the country around policing. Is that we cannot condone or excuse police officers for doing things that citizens would be held accountable for, or would be expected to be held accountable for. That undermines our entire system of justice and accountability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and even, frankly, with the marijuana, you know, now it's a little easier to laugh about that, but 4 years ago, it was still illegal to have that amount of marijuana. And I'd be curious, like, to know how many people in Santa Cruz County in the 10 years previous were arrested or searched because they had that small amount of marijuana and then they were arrested for something else. It's actually not necessarily a throwaway funny little item.
Right. It was not legal. And so why is it laughable and excusable because it was a police officer, and yet depending on who was caught on the streets with it, it might turn into a really life impacting incident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I really appreciate speaking with you. And again, I'm really grateful to have your perspective and to have this time to talk to you. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for reaching out.
Yeah.
And best of luck with this story and your other endeavors.
You've been listening to an interview with Shawnee Bugs. assistant professor with the UC Davis Violence Prevention Research Program, discussing the 2017 theft of a Santa Cruz Police Department AR-15 rifle, which remains missing today.